Good afternoon. Welcome to the Good, the Bad, and the Reality. We're brought to you by the DUnity Group and 8A The Easy Way, your fast track to government contracting. I'm Roger Vaughn, and I'm joined by my lovely co-hosts, Stacey and Myra. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
I got it right this time. I usually say good morning, and I got it right this time.
I know, and I usually fall into that good morning.
You follow suit. Okay. Well, each week we talk about what makes business ownership so rewarding as it relates to the challenges of running a small business and ultimately why you choose to do what you do. As far as the election, it is over.
Thank God it's over.
I know, yeah.
It is over. I am so glad it is over. You just don't know.
No more ads, no more none of that stuff anymore. That's
no
great.
No more negative ads. No,
last week when Roger and I were in Denver, it was just nonstop for like 45 minutes. It went from one entity to another. And I looked at him like, really? Do we have to do this every state, everywhere we go?
Yeah. Well, you know, it was such a personal election. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, what the incumbent's kind of going to do is, you know, change the hope to action. Okay. Let's just start doing things, and hopefully, I'll put it this way: people will start to get along in Capitol Hill. Just get along. It doesn't matter what your Democrat or Republican. Just get along and work through it, because you know you don't have to like each other. You don't have to go out for dinner and drinks. But get along and work for the people that put you in office, period.
Let's just get work done. That's my thing. Exactly. Can we get some work done?
Exactly.
Instead of talking?
Exactly. Because, you know, recovery and healthcare and all that stuff, it's going to be there. We have international challenges as well, but I think we'll be all right. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, but we're going to be all right. So, but that being said, ladies, who do we have in our studio today?
Well, first, we have Scott Leeds with Asset Recovery Group, LLC, and he's been here in Atlanta for a few years.
And we also have Serena Mador with SurgiMed Services, Inc., and she's going to be talking with us about medical billing and that sort of thing. Okay. So why don't we get started with you, Serena?
Great.
Good. Well, tell us about your business.
We are a medical billing and practice management company. Mm-hmm. Started here in Atlanta in 1993.
Oh, wow. Long time.
Long time, yes. Uh-huh. We have had a wide range of clientele, from oculofacial plastic surgeons to neurosurgeons to surgical assistants.
Okay.
Isn't much we can't do and haven't done. it's a challenge right now based on what's going on with the economy and with healthcare, obviously,
exactly.
With getting new clients, because the doctors right now don't know what's going to happen, where are things going to go, what do they need to do.
Right.
So it's kind of at a standstill as far as getting new business. It's a challenge we have right now. But
I didn't even think about that with, you know, the current economy, that it would be a challenge for medical practices and the whole, you know, all the ancillary businesses that go along with that.
It is, particularly for solo practitioners,
mm-hmm.
doctors
that
are on their own.
A lot of the doctors are.
Right.
Correct, yes. Yes, they are looking right now, some of them, to join these mega groups in order to sort of have protection, in other words.
Right, right.
And
so how does that help, you know, the sole doctors that I know of? They usually use their spouse or girlfriends or whatever to do medical billing. What's the difference for them not to do it internally versus externally?
Well, doing it externally has several benefits. One, you don't have the overhead cost. You're not paying a salary. You're not paying taxes. You don't have to provide health care. You don't have to worry about vacation, et cetera, with your employees. If you're outsourcing, we are paid. For example, our company is paid based on a percentage of what you collect. So we only get paid if the doctor gets paid. So clearly, that's extreme motivation to collect every cent that is possible.
Right.
If you have someone working in your office that gets a base salary of, say, $30,000 to $35,000 a year, they're not going to be as motivated as someone who is going to get $30 if you get $3,000.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Absolutely.
So we're much more motivated. It's kind of makes sense. It makes sense to outsource. It doesn't, there's nothing hindering. And now doctors think that they need to have it in-house because they think they need to have control and be able to see. They think if they have outsourced their billing, they're not going to have control or see what's going on from day to day. And really, that's sort of a...
I imagine that's a fallacy in the,
it
the
is.
Whole thinking.
Yes, it is, most definitely, because that's not what you... That's not really beneficial. Mm-hmm. It's not beneficial to them.
And some of the other medical billing companies that I know of, there are certain systems that they use that, you know, the doctors and the physicians have access to kind of see what you're collecting and kind of your whole process.
Correct, yes. Most of the software out there now is web-based. Mm-hmm. So the doctor can log in and see anything that a biller is doing, no matter where they are in the country.
Right, right.
So they don't need to be right there with you.
So that makes a lot more sense. Why do medical billing companies get such a bad rap then?
Unfortunately, it's kind of goes back to when all this working from home kind of came out and like the top 10 things that you would log on the internet and see, work from home, do medical billing.
Yeah.
So somebody
stuff
would
envelopes.
Right. Yeah. So someone would take a 10-week class,
right,
and not really have the proper training,
okay,
didn't have the knowledge, mm-hmm, and then go out and get a client and it turned into a total disaster. And then that doctor from then on said, okay, never, ever, ever again.
Wow.
So they're self-taught versus trained.
Correct. Right. Correct.
So how did you get into this business?
Because my mother actually started Surgimed.
Wow. That's
in
great.
In 1993. And my dad also, I should have said my parents.
I think we got this.
And so I sort of kind of fell into it. In other words, I started working in the medical field for a client of theirs, mm-hmm, when I was about 20, while I was finishing school.
Okay.
And, you know, I've worked in several different doctor's offices doing different things and, you know, got married, had a baby, the whole nine yards. And this was kind of the best thing for me to do.
Okay.
And I enjoy it. I okay. do enjoy it.
And I imagine you have to be rather meticulous and persistent to have to deal with insurance companies and all the stuff that goes into this.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Yeah. Now, what's involved with contracting with, you know, as far as the insurance companies?
Each doctor or group, mm-hmm, has to have a contract in place with the insurance companies that sets your fee schedule, mm, how much you're going to get paid for visits, procedures, et cetera. They kind of want to know what you've done since the third grade, in essence, I always
wow.
say, because it's a stack of paperwork. You send that in. 45 days later, they come back and say, yes, approved. Here's your contract. You sign your uh-huh. copy and send it back. It's a tedious, tedious job. That's something that SurgiMed offers as uh-huh. well, because it's not difficult, but it's scary to a lot of doctors
right.
and or practice managers who have never done it, because it seems so very overwhelming.
Right.
But it's really not. It's literally just sitting down and filling out paperwork form after form after form.
I know
sounds
a little
familiar.
Bit about that.
I was going to say,
that
sounds
real
deja
familiar.
Vu. We do other forms.
Well, I have a question, and I'm still trying to get past the, let me see if I get this straight. Oculofacial
plastic surgeon.
If you would mind elaborating just a tad bit on what oculofacial
sure.
portion.
Sure. That is a surgeon that operates only on the eyes.
I see.
It's cosmetic and functional surgery, doing the eyelids, tear ducts, things like that.
I see.
Okay. Wow. Very interesting.
Learn something new every day.
I was just going to say, that's my new word for the day. I'm going to find out how to use that.
Oculofacial. You need an oculofacial today.
Okay, so how is Obamacare going to change contracting?
Well, that's yet to be seen. You know, mm-hmm. I have my own thoughts on that. Of course, we don't really know. Obamacare is not here yet.
Right.
I would imagine what will happen is I hope it won't be as tedious, since you're going to be, in essence, contracted with the government,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
just like we are with Medicare and Medicaid
right.
now. I would imagine that it will be a quick fill out this form, sign your contract,
mm-hmm.
and here you go. As far as the fee schedules, I don't know. You know,
right.
Medicare and Medicaid have the obviously the lowest fee schedules of any of the insurance companies out there.
Right.
So I would imagine that they're all going to be that way now. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
And much to be seen with that whole thing. And then I know, you know, we were talking before the show and you mentioned something about meaningful use. What is that exactly?
Yes. And that, in essence, is part of what the government has done. The government is offering an incentive to all doctors to go on to electronic health records.
Mm-hmm.
There are, it's what's called meaningful use is the doctors complying with what the government calls meaningful use, and they offer you an incentive. They give you tax money, give you money back. There's 15 core sets that the doctors have to follow, and five menu sets. Mm-hmm. And it's really geared more towards primary care physicians, but unfortunately all doctors have to do it, which mm-hmm. can be difficult for some subspecialists. Mm-hmm. Keeping track of all people's vital signs, keeping their medication list up to date. They're going to have to come up with a clinical decision support rule, meaning that if somebody comes in and they have skin cancer, for example, or suspicion of skin cancer, you counsel them on sunscreen. Mm. It's a large group of things that the doctors have to comply with to, in essence, meet meaningful use.
Okay.
Stage one just came out in 2010. This was the first year that doctors could apply and report for meaningful use to receive their tax money.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do it again next year. In 2014, stage two will come out, and they'll do that for 14 and 15. And then in 2016, stage three will come out, and that will be the last year for reporting.
And I know there's been a lot of buzz around that whole electronic medical records and just how great it's going to be for you and me as individuals. I mean, because the information is readily available to whatever, you know, practice you go to.
So it is, and that's one of the menu sets that the doctor's offices are required mm-hmm. to provide you with a login to the system right. so that you can see your record, or to provide you with a printout of your clinical summary okay. after each visit.
That's awesome. I mean, how are physicians responding to that, though? Do they think it's as great as me on the layperson, you know, on that side looking in?
You know, some do, some don't. It's kind of like teaching an old dog new tricks. Some of the older doctors are not happy about switching from right. their paper charts. They're used to walking around and with their pen.
Mm-hmm.
It is obviously beneficial to not have all that paper.
Right.
But I don't think it increases effectiveness or speed, so to speak, of your doctor's visit. I don't think for us as patients and for them as doctors, when we are together in that exam room, it creates anything great or wonderful or changes the way it was before, mm-hmm. other than perhaps it may slow you down a little because the internet crashes and then your EHR doesn't work.
Right. Yeah. And then then you have to go back to the
paper chart.
The paper chart.
Correct. Oh, wow.
So what have you done to diversify your portfolio and your business in this economic situation? Have you done anything unique? You know, because you've been in business for quite a while, so I'm sure you've seen all the changes.
Correct. You know, I don't really think that there's anything that we can do to diversify other than change with the medical field.
Mm-hmm.
We can change with working now instead of using our software, for example, and providing our software for our clients. We work with their software. Whatever mm-hmm. they choose, we use that. Becoming familiar with meaningful use and helping them with their reporting and compliance.
Okay.
Helping them with contracting as things begin to change. We'll obviously do what needs to be done there.
So have you done any kind of contract, like subcontracting work for a doctor that they've got a Medicare, Medicaid kind of, you know, contract? Have you done any of that
yet? We have, yes. In fact, so a couple of doctors that we have now, a couple of our clients, we have actually started from the beginning. We have walked them through their startup of their mm-hmm. company and done all their contracting with all the insurance companies.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, with the whole electronic medical records, is that something that is kind of a niche that you can help them with as far as moving to that meaningful use? And
yes, we have also helped mm-hmm. One of our clients this year. He reported, and we helped him meet compliance mm-hmm. and compile reports mm-hmm. so that he could report to the government. It's very simple. It's something as simple as labeling. Right. Everybody mm-hmm. that comes in that has skin cancer, you put a label there right. that you talk to them about skin cancer. Everybody that comes in for high blood pressure, they're mm-hmm. marked in some way. Diabetes, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So if you could talk to a brand new set of doctors, they're fresh out of med school, what would be the top three things that you would say to them? Because they're all thinking about that, okay, I got to start a practice. And we all know it's not an easy thing to start a business. What would be the top three things that you would want to advise them on?
Number one, I would want to advise them on their EHR, what system they choose. Mm-hmm. Sometimes less is more.
Okay.
There's a lot of big EHR companies out there with a lot of bells and whistles that mm-hmm. just aren't necessary.
Okay.
I would want to talk to them about their contracting,
mm-hmm.
all the information they need to gather personally, in order to get their contracts, and then obviously their billing.
Yeah. Good. The three main points. Like, we talk about three main points with businesses. So those are great things to know.
Wonderful. Now, if somebody wants to get in touch with you because they need more information, or maybe they need to set up their practice to outsource this whole medical billing or electronic health records, how does somebody get a hold of you?
They can call us or visit us on the web. It's www.surgimedservices.com. Mm-hmm. And our phone number is 678-566-2783.
Awesome. Well, I hope you stick around because we've got someone else that we're going to speak with kind of about outsourcing.
Yes, and then most definitely.
We can all chat together.
So, Scott, Scott Leeds with Asset Recovery. Can you tell people what you do?
Sure. Good morning. I own a company called Asset Recovery Group. We're a little bit unique in the industry for the fact that we only focus on commercial debt versus consumer debt. Mm. We engage our clients in two ways. One, from traditional collection services nationwide to include litigation should that become necessary. And also, we work with our clients on best business practices to minimize their bad debt exposure on the back end.
Hmm. Wow, that sounds like a whole lot. And I know most people might be thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Oh, debt collector, bad.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we're like any other industry out there. Hmm. We're not immune. We have bad apples. One thing that I'm proud to be is a member of the American Collectors Association as well as the Georgia Collectors Association. As business owners, we have collectively agreed to hold ourselves to a higher business ethical situation to make sure that we're conducting our business in a legal manner.
So you're kind of like the facilitator, mediator from both perspectives. Is that what you're doing?
Absolutely. One of the things that I like to point out when I'm speaking with people is that what makes us unique in the industry is our approach. Not only do we focus on recovering our clients' money, but we also do everything possible to protect the integrity of the client relationship for the future. And again, in our approach, we take the time to understand and uncover the real reason why your client's not paying you. Once you can understand that, that gives you a board, so to speak, to jump off of and find a viable solution to bridge the gap between you and your client.
And that makes sense. I mean, because a lot of times, in business, like in anything, if you are waiting for receivables from a client, then maybe all of your payables are going to be late. So, me, the company doing business with you, may not understand those intricacies. But, once I do know that, and of course, you're not going to share it with me necessarily. But once I know that, then I can, try to work out something according to your payment schedule, how you get paid from your clients.
Right. And one of the pieces is that when you have a client and they've been your client for, say, several years, and it gets to the point where they're having some kind of financial issue, they may not share that with you.
Right. I mean, just the whole pride thing. I mean,
absolutely.
Seriously.
Yeah, well, life happens, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's where I believe, and one of the main reasons I started Asset Recovery Group is that I see that there's a tremendous opportunity out there from a collection perspective to not only help my clients recover their money, but really protect that relationship for the future. I mean, companies spend a lot of time and money associated with building new clients, and it's really a great opportunity for us to enhance that relationship. And that's the way I believe that I can add more value to my clients, not only recovering that money, but giving them a chance to continue doing business with them. And we're very successful at doing that.
Well, it sounds like, I think Roger.
Go ahead.
Well, it sounds like that's a really good reason to use you versus using an attorney, because just, by bringing an attorney into the mix, you create that stigma and that, I've been doing business with you for 10 years. I'm going to get you paid. And now you sick this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Both ways can be extremely effective, being at a collection agency, contacting them, or an attorney. The one thing that I like to point out as far as working with attorneys is the attorney actually going to make the calls on your behalf, or do they have a collection department without hourly collectors?
That's a good point.
Making the calls.
Good point.
One of the advantages with utilizing my company is that I've got 20 plus years of experience at negotiating and really getting your clients to come to the other side of the table and say, hey, look, we have an obligation. We need to find a solution. And once we understand and uncover the true objection, then we have a place to work with to come up with a solution.
So we've gone away from you're taking somebody for a ride, so to speak, and whatnot. But let's go for a ride today. Nice day to go for one. But in your 20 years of experience, what type of changes have you seen from take place in this industry?
Well, the biggest thing is the approach of how we're collecting. You know, it used to be smile and dial, browbeat them, so to speak, until you can convince them to pay. And, you know, with technology the way it is today, not only are the consumers as well as the businesses are becoming more educated. And as I mentioned earlier about being a member of the American Collectors Association, they're extremely heavily involved in legislation to not only improve the collection industry, but also for protecting the rights of business and consumers. Mm-hmm. So it's really about educating and about realizing that business is not the same as it used to be, and we have to become a little bit more creative in finding the right solution that everybody can live with, but ultimately protecting that relationship.
So Scott, how do you get paid in your business with these business owners and collection aspect?
Great question. We do work on a nationwide basis. All my work is on a contingency basis, which of course means I don't get paid unless I collect for you.
Okay. Oh. When do they come to you? I know some people say sooner than later, those kind of things. But when's a good, what's like the three things that you've noticed that they didn't do that could probably help them much better before they have to call you, that kind of thing?
Well, there's two things. One, and we can we'll elaborate on, is on what can they do on the front end. What can you do to minimize your bad debt exposure on the front end so it doesn't, of course, end up on the back end?
Right.
That's the first piece that we're looking at. Two, when somebody comes to me and says, Scott, I'm asked this question all the time, when should I turn my account over for collections? And this is my response. When they've lied to you for the third time or failed to meet an agreed-upon timetable to get the balance paid. And that's when I tell my clients, you must do something different, whether it's going through an attorney or going through a collection agency. It's time to do something different.
Right. Now, you also mentioned that, you know, some of the associations that you're a part of, they protect the rights of the consumers and the businesses. And I know consumer collection, from what you said, is different than commercial collection. So what are the rights of the business owners when it comes to collections?
Well, again, just to kind of back up a little bit, on the consumer side, you're bound by the Fair Debt Credit Practice Act, and you have certain laws and requirements that you have to do in order to try to collect. On the commercial side, which is my business, you're not bound by those laws, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Being that I've been in this a little over 20 years, I kind of came from the old school of traditional type collections, and find that just... being a little bit more creative is what can add some tremendous value to your clients.
So how did you get started in this crazy world?
Well, I started a little over 20 years ago. I was looking for a job, and I found one that was about a mile from my house, considering my car was about to die. and it was
worst case scenario, I can walk to work.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it was for a father-son consumer collection agency. And I just found out right away, I realized that I had a knack for this, that I was very good at not only approaching people, but, hey, giving them the feeling that, hey, I'm coming on the other side of the table. Let's work this out together, rather than, again, going back to me just trying to browbeat you for your money.
Right.
So you were the warm and fuzzy and not necessarily Guido.
Absolutely. One of the
all the poor guys, and they get Guido.
All the parts, yes,
he
exactly.
He just found a creative, more creative way to take them for a ride. Versus using a Cadillac, he uses a Volkswagen. I make it really uncomfortable for him.
You know, one of the things I'd like to touch on is we were just talking about when should you turn account over collection. One of the biggest ingredients that I think is very key about when turning something over to collection is you don't want to lose that sense of urgency. Mm-hmm. You know, you have that emotional attachment to the debt when the product or services are rendered. And the longer you wait, the less important it becomes to your client. and the less that they feel obligated to resolve it. A perfect example, my wife and I have an 8-year-old son, and when he gets something in his mind that he wants, he's unrelentless.
Yeah, they are.
We all learn from our kids with that, right?
Exactly.
And if I could just hone in on his attention span, I would love to have the opportunity to have him do some collection calls for
me. Yeah, really, huh?
Because he will not take a no for an answer. But here's my point, is that once my son gets what he's looking for, it could last one day, 2 days, maybe a week. And then he has no interest anymore.
Right.
And all that power for what he wanted is gone.
Right.
And the same similar situation happens in business when your client doesn't pay you in a timely manner and you just let it linger out. They lose a little emotional attachment. They don't feel like they have to pay. And then, interestingly enough, objections you've never heard before come out at that time, too.
Right, right. So you don't just work with small businesses. You work with any size at this point, right?
Absolutely. I work with in all industries nationwide, whether they're small or big. And the two pieces, as I mentioned before, is the collection piece and plus our accounts receivable management consulting side, where we go in and work with small to medium-sized business owners, even some large companies at times, and help them come up with a plan and a way to be more proactive and well-informed on making credit decisions so they can minimize bad debt exposure.
Well, I presume that bad debt, as within the consumer side as well, does affect credit scores?
Absolutely. You know, on the commercial side, it's more reported to the DMV versus, you know, the Experian, Equifax, that where the consumer agencies will report your negative credit.
So what kind of, who is a good person to help get you some leads, you know, when you're like, what are some keywords that people or businesses are hearing to make sure that they refer you, your services?
Help,
yeah.
Well, of course, I try to share my company any way I can, and through doing networking and speaking events, it gives me an opportunity to share my company. And what I find typically, and I actually it's quite comical for me, when I'm at a speaking event, I can look around the room and the folks that are really intently listening to me, and I can see their minds are turning, usually are the ones that'll come up to me with their head tucked down a little bit and say, you know, Scott, I have this issue I don't know if you can help me with. And that's when the process really begins, that I can open up people's eyes and say, hey, look, you've got this problem on the back end, but what if we can do something on the front end to minimize that on the back end?
And you talked about a second ago just making better credit decisions. Is that some of the consulting work that you do with business owners?
Absolutely. My biggest thing is the three C's, and that is the credit policy, the credit application, and the collection process. Now, let's just dig into a little bit on the credit policy. This is essentially an outline that provides you with guidelines on how you're going to approve credit, what your repayment terms are, if there is a product or service on refunds and so forth. And it really spells everything out for you so that you have a clear understanding of what's going to make a good credit decision. So the next piece would be on the credit application. And some people are uncomfortable calling it credit application, and I suggest people call it a new application. You need some data entry information specifically on the company so that you can make a well-informed credit decision. So what is important on the credit application? Well, you want to make sure you have the proper legal styling of the business name. I can tell you many times I've had companies sign contracts, and then when they tried to collect their money, the company doesn't even exist.
That's a real issue.
The other thing you want to do, too, is you want to have a bank reference. You want to be able to check, make sure they do, in fact, have a bank account. Also, another key thing is the trade references. Give you an example. If you have a new prospective client looking to get $10,000 credit from you, and they provide you with three trade references, and the highest credit they've had is $3,500, that's a big jump.
It's a
$6,500 variance, and you want to know, did they pay the $3,500 in a timely manner? And if not, then you may have to look at doing something a little bit different, which, again, you can reflect back to your credit policy in how you want to handle that.
So some of the things that you're doing for businesses is really teaching them some policies, internal policies, and so though they meet some compliance too.
Absolutely. It's all about educating our clients. Everybody believes that their product and service is flawless, and you know they're surprised when they don't get paid.
imagine that.
And one of the other big ingredients that really plays a big part in it is making sure you're billing timely,
right.
Billing accurately.
Right.
It leaves the door open. If you're not billing timely, then they don't expect that they have to pay it timely.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you're not billing accurately, then they can look back and say, oh, well, let's take a look at all the bills we received from you because you're not billing us accurately. This is not correct. So it just creates opportunity for them to dispute the balance. And again, it goes back. You want to keep that emotional element in there, and you want to keep that sense of urgency of getting this matter resolved.
That's so funny, if I could jump in and say that just the correlation there between what you're talking about and just medical billing and billing it correctly, billing it timely, being urgent and diligent is something that goes back to the difference between outsourcing and in-house and then the bad rep, in essence, that medical companies have gotten because they weren't billing correctly. They weren't billing timely. They weren't persistent, appealing, et cetera. And the insurance company is going to keep their money as long as possible.
Absolutely.
And if you aren't after them and it's been 6-8 months, they're going to say, well, I'm sorry, too bad, and you're not going to get your money.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious as to what type of rides do you guys, have your clients go through versus what he used to go through?
Yeah.
Guido, and you probably use Sal.
No. With a sharp surgical instrument, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Scott, how do people get a hold of you?
Great question. Our website is www.assetgroupllc.com. My telephone number is 770-619-9555. And I'm always looking for opportunities to go out to any association, organization, and happy to share some of my experience on how they can be more effective on the front end and minimize that bad debt exposure on the back end.
And Scott, I also see that you're on LinkedIn as well.
I am.
Another way to find you.
And yes. Twitter, Scott 24577.
24577?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we also have Corey Moore here in the audience with us, and I know he's going to tell us about another Pro Networker event that he's got going on. So share with us what's coming up.
Well, thank you for having me.
No problem.
Yeah, we've been doing now Strictly Business under the Pro Networker company. This is going to be our third month that we've had the event. Ben's been going very well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
In September, we had 200 people out. In October, we had 225 out, and our goal is to hit about 300 this month. So,
nice.
With us in our early debut, we are probably now in the top three as far as networking events, as far as attendees are concerned here in Atlanta. So,
and I like the name Strictly Business.
Strictly Business. Okay. If you are coming to socialize, don't come. if you're coming to find a significant other, don't come. if you are just coming just to have a drink and just sit on the sideline, don't really want to talk to people about your business, don't come. But for those individuals who actually really want to, that are serious about either finding a client, a collaborator, or even a competitor, my three C's,
right.
Then that's definitely the place to be able to come.
Wonderful.
And typically, and for us, I mean, if you say to yourself you want to meet about 300 people, then you have to ask yourself how long it'll take you to meet 300 people.
Well, at your event's a couple of hours,
take a couple hours. So with that, you can either go to three events at 100 people or you can go to one event and knock them all out. So, yeah, we're excited about it.
So tell us all the details. When, where?
It is this coming Monday, which is the 12th.
Uh-huh.
It's in Atlantic Station.
Okay.
And it's at the old Fox Sports Grill. A lot of people are like, oh, I didn't know they closed. Yeah,
they
did. and if you go to online, if you go to www.s as in strictly, b as in business, event.net, you'll be able to get all the information there.
Wonderful.
Advanced tickets are a whopping $10. or 15 or actually 20 at the door. So it's definitely good. We have Meehan's that's sponsoring the food for us this month, which is actually very good.
Good.
We're going to, and actually in our events, have a nonprofit that's associated
with it. I
was going
to say, usually like give part of the proceeds.
Yeah, every month what we do is have a different nonprofit that's attached.
Okay.
We feel that pretty much business owners are extremely busy, but they want to give back, and they typically don't have the time to do it. So we say, you know, why don't you come out and network and also give back, so you kind of kill a couple birds with one stone. This month, we have the Atlanta Community Food Bank.
Okay.
Obviously, with it being
the holidays. Perfect the holidays. Timing. Yeah.
So we are doing a fundraiser slash awareness piece for them. So every month, we do a different raffle. This raffle is going to be a $250 gift card to the Buckhead Life restaurant group.
Oh, wow.
With that.
You can actually get a meal at one of the Buckhead Life groups at $250.
Get one meal. You probably have to go by yourself. But but yeah, so with raffle tickets for that, those proceeds would go directly to the nonprofit.
Awesome.
So yeah, we're very excited about that.
Well, great. Just before we sign off here, I just wanted to also say that if any of our guests or people out there in the listening audience, if you have relatives and family up in the Northeast, we hope that they are all doing well and are safe. And for those of you that are holding events, you might also want to consider some of your proceeds possibly going to that direction as well. Obviously, we know, we saw that Hurricane Sandy did quite a bit of damage up in that area. So I know most, you know, a lot of people in here in Atlanta are not original Atlanta natives. A lot of folks have migrated from that area. So if you still have relatives up in that area, please remember them in your thoughts. And Stacy, do you have something about another event?
Yeah, well, I have one. We're having a lunch and learn tomorrow about the good, bad, and reality of contracting.
How did I totally forget that?
Yeah. And we are going to be doing that event at the TAG, which is the Technology Association of Georgia. I get it kind of backwards in my head. But we are actually, the best part is that it's going to be sponsored lunch by Insperity, and that Myra will be speaking, and our other alliance partner, Jason Bass with Bass Business, and then D-Unity. So we're excited to share how this election is a benefit for small businesses on contracts out there.
Or may not be.
May not be, yeah. And it's not just small businesses. It may be medium-sized businesses out there. They're trying to regroup. As we know, this is the time that people kind of think about, how do I grow my business for the new year? So this is usually a good time for people to come out and share some lunch, do a little networking. As I always say, there's never enough time for networking, so
yeah, and get some really good information as well.
So we had some great guests today.
Yeah, and why don't each of you share your contact information with us one last time?
This is Scott with Asset Recovery Group. Again, our website is www.assetgroupllc.com, and we can also be reached by phone at 770-619-9555.
Okay.
I am Serena Metter with Surgimed Services. Our website is www.surgimedservices.com. Our phone number is 678-566-2783.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both for sharing some great information about outsourcing.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, there you have it, folks. Join us each week as we talk about what makes business ownership so rewarding as it relates to the challenges of running a small business and ultimately why you choose to do what you do. Once again, we'd like to thank our guests, Serena and Scott, for being with us today. Join us next week, and everybody have a great day. Thank you much.